Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Police in Delaware County, Pennsylvania, investigating, they say, after a child was shot, a juvenile was shot. And so this happened in the 400 block of Darby Terrace. This is Darby, Pennsylvania. Officers responding to that shooting last night. They were focused on one home, they say, where the victim was taken, rushed to Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. And we don't have word right now on that child or preteen's condition. No further details released. We simply know that this incident happened inside a home, and they're not even including the young victim's age or what led to that gunfire, only that we had somebody rushed to Children's Hospital of Philadelphia.
It's always the same thing. We don't know what caused this. We don't know what was the motivation. And of course, the police have to act as the medics. It's the same thing, just insert different people in different neighborhood, right?
Yeah, it's so true.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Philadelphia's newest task force, which Sherelle Parker, Mayor Parker, had created this or pushed for this task force as well. And it's really aimed at cutting down on crime in the city. But they held their first meeting last night. It's called the Parent and Guardian Engagement Task Force. And they met at City Hall last night. This is the goal here, to come up with ways to get parents more involved with their children and with their communities.
Okay.
So saying, parents, you need to be involved. City officials say that last year, 17%+ of all the shootings involved people under the age of 21.
Mm-hmm. Shocking. It's amazing what you could actually do as a parent sometimes if you just don't let your kids zone out on a device or an app as you do the same thing. It's not parenting involvement. Fill up the hours of your kids' day, right?
Yeah.
That's why they created the extracurriculars.
Well, this is something that Mayor Sherelle Parker, when she was voted in, worked with city council passing legislation to establish this special task force, among other things. But this was one of her priorities that she had campaigned upon, saying, let's bring together parents, bring them into the conversation. And remember, she had declared a state of emergency due to public safety concerns.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one of the things that answers to that. We also have the beginning of school happening in Philadelphia in just 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And oftentimes we hear about schools because of the heat. We'll get to the forecast in a moment. But extreme heat often has forced schools to close at lunchtime or close altogether because of no air conditioning. However, we have many schools across our region, nearly 199 new air conditioning units installed at schools across the district. And this is thanks to a donation by Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts.
Wow.
The Eagles.
Yeah.
His foundation donating more than $200,000 to outfit these schools with air conditioning units.
All right. Very good. He might not like his head coach, but he does like cool classrooms.
Well, we are sponsored this morning by United Tire. Stop by United Tire. Say you want to trade in your old tires, get $100 off four new tires, and you'll get no-fault road hazard coverage for free. Now, that includes free maintenance like rotations, flat tires, and much more. UnitedTire.com. Don't drive alone. Drive United. Discover Lancaster sponsors our sports and our weather. Well, hopefully they want to sponsor our sports. Maybe they'll be good luck for tonight, because last night, eek, against the Fish, the Marlins, our Phils 5-0. We lost big time.
Yeah, if they can't beat the Marlins tonight, I am officially opting out of the softball game tomorrow at the bank.
Oh, that's not. You can't.
No, you'll be good luck.
Yeah, it's for PAL. It's for the for police athletic league.
Win some games, you bozos. Yeah, what are you doing?
I had read a statistic on X by our sister station and a friend of mine, Dave Uram, who does sports over there.
Yep.
That the Phillies need to go 23-13 for the rest of the season to win 100 games,
which is certainly attainable, right? I mean, that's 23 and yeah, they could easily do that. They just
have to win games,
right? They just have to win games, which is easier said than done. But what is that? 64%.
Yeah,
they could do that. They could. I mean, they were at what, almost 7 out of every 10 until they came back to Earth about a month ago.
And there's still 6 games up on the Braves.
Yeah, it's because the Braves are not that good.
It's unbelievable.
They're lucky.
It's unbelievable. Yeah.
But you know what? No, I don't. There's like 4 teams out there that could, maybe 5 teams that could win this whole thing. So they're right in the mix. The Dodgers, the Yankees, the Phillies, the Braves.
Guardians.
Cleveland, yeah. Team that nobody knows about. They don't even know where they... Oh, that used to be the Indians. Oh, yeah, I remember Cleveland. Yeah.
I don't know. The Diamondbacks showed the Phillies last series why they were that we own you.
Yeah, I'm ready for football. Let me know when October gets here, and then I'll check back in on the Phillies unless they absolutely bottom out here.
Yeah.
By the way, after 4 years of offering free parking, SEPTA has announced it's reinstating those parking fees starting next month.
By the way, programming note, the Phillies will be on our station tomorrow starting at 6:05. So the Phillies Nationals game will be heard tomorrow on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT starting at 6:05. So
I think Rich is happy about that.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, if you want, family. We could just preempt Zioli and we could just broadcast the softball game. Imagine me on 1210.
Softball?
Yeah.
Yeah, listen to him.
Yeah, the Police Athletic League.
Yeah.
You hear your boy rounding the bases on the radio? Here's the 2-2 to Kale.
I love it.
Yeah, me too.
Well, Discover Lancaster is sponsoring our forecast. I think you're going to love the forecast. Today and tomorrow, 86 degrees, bright sunny skies with lows. You know, pretty much every morning we're starting out 65, 66 degrees, so nice, cool overnight lows. Friday, we heat up a little bit, 87 degrees, clouds moving in, and unfortunately, moving in for the weekend. So your Saturday and Sunday, lower 80s, 82, 83 degrees, respectively, but with spotty showers throughout Saturday and Sunday and Monday. And then, of course, next Tuesday, Greg says Tuesday, next Tuesday, the beautiful mid-80s and sunny weather returns.
Yeah, of course.
For the weekend, dodging, no washout to report, but it looks like, you know, you'd be just keeping an eye to the skies, I'd say.
How beautiful was yesterday, by the way?
It's gorgeous.
Was that not just like the ideal perfect weather?
Yeah.
That felt like late September weather. Yeah. Oh, that was just glorious.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Discover Lancaster and discover more of Lancaster. It's time for summer shopping for your favorite brands at the outlets in Lancaster County. More than 100 brand name outlets are just a 90-minute drive from Philadelphia. Visit discoverlancaster.com. Plan your getaway. Thank you, Discover Lancaster and United Tire, for sponsoring Kale and Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:12 on this Wednesday morning. Let's get to a midweek big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, the big take this morning, jockeying for position. You know, it's too early for a down-the-stretch-they-come commentary, but the fallout and takeaways continue from a busy last few days for both campaigns in the 2024 presidential election. From the Trump slump to copycat Kamala to the spaces heard round the world, new theories, polls, and data points continue to pour in as we are now just a mere 82 days away. The next big political calendar moment will occur next week as the DNC emanates from the Windy City with 100,000 plus pro-Palestinian protesters set to descend upon Chicago and potentially turn the Kamala coronation into an unmitigated foreign policy and a PR disaster. Will they go virtual? We will find out. After that, we will have about a 2.5 week Labor Day end of summer cool down period before the first and only scheduled debate at this very moment on September 10th occurs. But in the meantime, some good news for Trump, some issues still to address, and lingering questions in what appears to be a coin flip election at this moment in time. And I told you on Tuesday's Big Take that there was the bad and the good to Trump's broadcast with Elon. The bad, the tech issues and the 45-minute delay. The good, the conversation, the policies discussed, and the fact that Kamala Harris could never do what Trump just did. But new details emerging, some of us, including Trump supporters, were wondering, why did Trump sound so weird? After all, weird is the new buzzword in politics these days, and it turns out that many of our assumptions were accurate. It was not a lisp, it wasn't dental work, and of course, it wasn't drinking. As we know, he's not a drinker after his brother was plagued by alcoholism. It was the microphones. The proof? Here's the actual raw footage from the Trump team of him in real time recorded from another device. And as you'll see and hear here, no lisp whatsoever. Listen and watch.
Biden actually did something that was impossible. Both sides hate him. You know, both sides. Yeah. That was a hard thing to do. Unification.
Nothing more than bad microphone compression. It wasn't Daffy Duck, it wasn't Sylvester the Putty Cat, it was just the fact that Elon Musk's broadcasting skills are that of college radio. And also the echo in the room that Trump was in, just not conducive for millions of people to consume. And according to the Daily Mail, Dr. Mervyn Druin, one of the UK's leading experts in cosmetic dentistry, has told the Daily Mail that the ex-president's dental care likely played no role in the distortion of his sound, saying, quote, I am 100% sure Trump doesn't have dentures. He's had very sophisticated cosmetic dentistry, including veneers. That's why at his age, his teeth look so perfect and white. But moving on, I told you the mainstream media would have a field day with this, especially with the way Trump has tried to maneuver around and deal with taking on Kamala Harris. Case in point, fake news, CNN. Here's Caitlin Collins, who loves to interrupt Donald Trump, have producers in her ear fact-checking Trump, on with Stephen Colbert, the most unfunny dude in late nights, talking about Trump, only to have the audience dunk on her. Listen and watch this clip.
Trump has kind of been thrown on his heels by this, and he's not really sure how to go after Vice President Harris. He knew his attack lines on President Biden. He really has struggled with how to go after someone who's 20 years younger than him, who is a different gender, a different race. It's kind of been this moment where he has not been able to coalesce around a single attack line.
I know you guys are objective over there, that you just report the news as it is. Oh, I know. CNN makes a... I know.
Is that supposed to be a lab line?
I wasn't supposed to be, but I guess it is.
Man, Colbert and the liberal trained SEALs in the audience having a laugh at the expense of CNN's up-and-coming superstar. It's actually easy to attack Kamala. But I'll tell you the difference and how tough it actually really is when you let people get in your head coming up at the bottom of the hour. But here's the way you go after Kamala Harris. She's a fraud. She's a political hack. She's in over her head. She has left the border open. She has no conviction. She's a flip-flopper. She's certainly a left-wing radical socialist, uncertain of whether or not those policies still play effectively 4 years later that can get her elected. She's about as quick on her feet as Chris Christie is running the 40-yard dash. It's very simple. Just leave the personal insults out and keep bulldozing her on policy. But make no mistake about it, despite Colbert's mention of objective news in a joking fashion, CNN is back to their old tactics, deceptively editing audio and video of Trump to sway an election and smear the Republican nominee. Here is Trump and Elon Musk from two nights ago talking about energy and Japan. I want you to listen and watch the way CNN presents the first portion of this, and then we will give you the reality of the extended context. Apologies if this is a little long, but I think it's worth playing, and it flew under the radar a few nights ago. Take a listen and watch this.
I want to play one exchange that was kind of classic. Well, there were a lot of exchanges that were classic Donald Trump, but this one really stuck out to us.
And Nagasaki were bombed, but now they're like full cities again. So
right,
it's really not something that You know, so it's not as scary as people think, basically.
So that was more Elon Musk than Donald Trump talking about, sort of suggesting that what happened almost 80 years ago, I think 80 years ago next year, the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, now it's okay. Kind of trying to blow off the impact of that.
Nuclear, which is a nuclear war, very bad side. But there's also, I think, nuclear electricity
Absolutely.
Generation is underrated.
You're right.
And it's actually, you know, people have this fear of nuclear nuclear electricity generation, but it's actually one of the safest forms of electricity generation. It's just a huge misunderstanding. If you look at the injuries and deaths, you know, caused by, say, I mean, I'm not going to try and pick on coal mining, but just any kind of mining operation.
Right.
There's a certain number of injuries and deaths per year. And you compare that to nuclear. Nuclear is actually way better. So it's underrated as an electricity source, and I think it's something that's worth reconsidering. But there's so much regulation that people can't get it done.
Maybe they'll have to change the name. The name is it's a rough name. There are some areas like when you see what happened in
the bad branding.
Right,
branding
we'll have to rebrand it. We'll have to give it a good name. We'll name it after you or something. You know, it has a branding problem. You know, when you see what happened,
it does have a branding problem.
When you see what happened in Japan, where they say you won't be able to go in the land for about 3,000 years. Did you ever see that? And in Russia, where they had the problem, where they, you know, there's a lot of bad things happened, and they have a problem. And they say that in 2,000 years, people will start to occupy the land again. You know, you realize it's pretty bad.
No, that's not true.
But there's, about it's amazing.
It's actually not that bad. So like, after.
All right, so you can kind of stop that right there. Again, CNN, I mean, Dana Bash was even trying to struggle with explaining what the hell clip they even played on CNN. But that is what they do. When you have a 2-hour conversation and you grab that little piece and present it with a slant, all of a sudden, again, it's an attempt to make Donald Trump look like either an evil person, an incompetent person, a stupid person. Yet that's what CNN does. But one guy I really like, full of energy on CNN, a network that's lacking energy, is Harry Enten, polling and data guru, and he shared some good information for the Trump campaign. Listen and watch this.
I just want to take a step back and sort of point out we've kind of been here before. Mm-hmm. So August 13th, how far were the polls off in Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin? And this is in 2016 and 2020. Trump was estimated both times around and by significant margins. Take a look here. In 2016, the average poll in those states that I mentioned, those Great Lake battleground states, Trump was underestimated by 9 points on average at this point in 2016. How about 2020? It wasn't a one-off. Look at this. He was underestimated by 5 points on average. And, of course, Kamala Harris's advantage in those New York Times Siena College polls were 4 points in each of these key battleground states, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. The bottom line is this. If you have any idea, if you're a Kamala Harris fan and you want to rip open the champagne bottle, pop that cork, do not do it. Donald Trump is very much in this race. If we have a polling shift like we've seen in prior years from now until the final result, Donald Trump would actually win. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I am saying that he is very much in this ballgame based upon where he is right now, and compare that to where he was in prior years.
We certainly heard the Harris campaign saying we have to keep fighting.
Absolutely.
This is definitely not over. All right. Let's talk about enthusiasm and how that translates actually. We are quite a ways out again, 3 months about.
Yeah, you know, yesterday I was mentioning, you know, the enthusiasm for the Democratic ticket was up.
Yep.
But that enthusiasm is not the same thing as going out to actually vote. And there's a different question which essentially says, how certain are you actually going to go out and vote? And this is the top range, almost certain to vote. Again, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. This is among registered voters. Look at this. Look at Kamala Harris now compared to where Joe Biden was back in May. In fact, 62% of Joe Biden voters said they were almost certain to turn out and vote. Now,
it's actually gone
down a little bit. I would call this in the same general area at 61%. But it's basically unchanged. And look at Donald Trump. He was at 58% in May. He's actually gone up a little bit now. He's at 60% now.
All right, we can stop Harry Enten right there. So some very good news for Donald Trump. You'll hear an extended version of that coming up at 7:45 on the cut sheet with three caution points that Democrats need to keep in the back of their mind. Now, on the flip side, a poll you likely won't believe and you won't want to hear, And it's happening in Bruno's neck of the woods, Florida. Now, truth be told, I think this has the same chance of happening as Donald Trump winning New York, despite being only down 7 or 8 points in the Big Apple. Kamala Harris is now within 5 points of Trump in Florida, according to the latest USA Today Suffolk poll that found Trump with a 47-42 advantage. But the truth is, Florida flipping blue, in my opinion, is as likely as New York and California flipping red. It won't happen. But that poll has sent shockwaves through the polling community. A lot of people talking about it yesterday, and I feel like we need to share that with the audience. And speaking of Trump and getting it right, Republicans in Trump's inner circle again issuing a warning to Trump over his campaign strategy after joining Elon Musk. GOP strategists again telling him to focus not on Harris's identity or rally crowd sizes, imploring him to focus on her record. Ignore the nonsense. And to that I say, yes, he's done so in attack ads. If you've seen him on TV, if you've heard him on the radios, he's done just that. But I think what they are saying is don't go off script at rallies or during speeches and interviews. Now, that's a tough thing for him to do because that's where he really shines with his personality. But when you go off prompter and off script and then you start getting sidetracked with the nonsense, that's what will come back to hurt him. Focus on the facts and what matters. Apparently easier said than done. But to wrap on a positive note, according to a Daily Mail poll, Trump's original tax poll on tips is very popular. 55% strongly agree with abolishing it. 17% somewhat support it. That's a combined 72% support. No wonder Kamala Harris is trying to copy Trump's ideas. And I would say to Trump, just don't copy your past mistakes. Keep attacking above the belt and your chances to win dramatically increase. Go below the belt, despite it being true, you wind up feeling blue and making America even more blue. We don't want that. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, big take this morning. If you want to jump in, 855-839-1210. Also on social media at 1210WPHT. You can fire up the YouTube chat. You can leave your voice messages on the Odyssey app as well. We'll get to those coming up around 935, 940 this morning. Coming up next, the Kamala Harris campaign and Google manipulating what you see when you try to do some political searches. What's going on with that? And also voting machines. According to Politico, this November could be more of the same. And that's coming from Politico. We're back after this here on Kale and Company.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and the free Odyssey app.
A story from Axios on what the Harris administration and campaign is attempting to do and actually pulling off effectively, which isn't a violation, but it is along the lines of misinformation when it pertains to big tech and your ability to search for things politically. But I was thinking about this yesterday, and I think right now with Donald J. Trump, his biggest opponent is the media, not Kamala Harris. And I'm not saying he needs to attack the media. He needs to attack Kamala Harris on her track record, on her lack of policies, on her lack of visibility. But right now, what the media is doing is really reminiscent of what happened, I think, in maybe the most famous criminal court case in the history of our country back in 1994 and in 1995. I'll get to that in a moment, but I want you to think about this from a Cliff Note version over the last 9 years, because yesterday, clips of CNN were making the rounds on social media, you know, viral moments, when it pertains to Dana Bash, when it pertains to Caitlin Collins, some of this in the aftermath of Trump and Elon, some of this generally speaking on Trump struggling to strike the right tone on how he goes after Kamala Harris, which is why I put that in the big take. But he's been dealing with so much in the last 9 years, and if you think about the three elections that he's been a part of, in 2016, you know, he had to not only deal with Hillary, but But in and around that timeline, fake hoaxes, BS impeachments, and he ultimately defeated her. In 2020, he had to go up against Joe Biden, but he also had to deal with a pandemic. He had to deal with civil unrest following George Floyd. And then in 2024, it starts out with he's going after Joe Biden in a rematch. He's got indictments he's got to deal with, court cases, and then everything changes just like that after a few moments where it became obvious that Joe Biden had to go. Now he's dealing with Kamala Harris. But now more than ever, I swear, and this is also a little bit with the Time magazine cover and all of the other media outlets out there, he is running against the media. Meanwhile, Kamala Harris is quiet. And it's almost like the O.J. Simpson case, right? And I want people to think about this for a moment. Trump at this moment in time can't get Kamala Harris. And by the way, the media cannot as well. No interviews, no one-on-ones, no press conferences. They can't get her to take the witness stand, right? Kamala Harris has basically asserted her Fifth Amendment privileges here, the right not to self-incriminate. And it's like O.J. Simpson in that trial where Marsha Clark and Chris Darden desperately wanted to get OJ on the stand, right? Trump is like Marsha Clark and Christopher Darden, and Kamala is like OJ. Kamala's surrounded by the dream team, right? She's got Obama, she's got the Clintons, she's got the media. And right now, if you think about it, 30 years later, actually 30 years ago this summer, right? OJ was protected by the dream team and tabloids. The media set the narrative, right? I feel like that's what's going on right now, Dawn, where more than ever, and we know Trump has had to fight other obstacles besides Hillary and Joe and Kamala, but now the media has just gone into warp speed overdrive, and Trump in many ways, and I don't want to sound like I'm defeated here, but you can't attack her, according to some people, on a couple of things that I actually think are pertinent to this election, especially from a policy standpoint. And then when you try to just go after her on her failed record, at least in the polls, it's not reflective and not showing that it's working. The attack ads, all they do is point out her liberal biases, her border disaster, the economy, which is the way to go about it. But when you get Trump in these off-script moments, he almost has to watch what he says and how he says it, or he will be painted as sexist, as racist, and it's almost like the left has created the rules, and if you don't abide by them, they will destroy you in the media. Do you feel like the media is the biggest obstacle right now, more than it's been in 2020 and 2016? Because I do. Oh, no.
No, I think the media is what it is. I think the media, I do think the media has doubled down. And every day there's something, there's some new low that I see. there's some new low and I say, wow, I didn't think they'd go that low. And that's the so-called mainstream media. I don't know how they get away with that without saying that this is an op, identifying it as an op-ed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they get away with it.
It's what it is. It's they just carry the water for her.
So here's the thing I would say about as far as Trump goes, and you know, and I just was looking at the headlines when you were speaking about the media. So the top stories, if you just put in Trump, CNN, as Trump flails and invites conspiracies, allies plea for him to stay a message. Why newsrooms, this is the WAPO, Washington Post, why newsrooms have not published leaked Trump campaign documents. Chuck Todd, Republicans are stuck with Trump's obsessions. Now, at least NBC News puts that it's Chuck Todd, and you can infer that it's his opinion. But
the retired Chuck Todd.
Yeah. And, well,
no longer on Sunday.
Slightly on a bench.
Yeah.
loser, Chuck Todd. And then the only one is Fox News has Jillian Michaels, who I find interesting. She's underwhelmed by Kamala Harris.
Mm-hmm.
But that's leaning the other way as far as she's underwhelmed.
Yeah, she's a California conservative.
Yes. Right. I would just say that for Trump, he knows that he's looking at a sliver of a vote. Winning, who can he win with?
Mm-hmm.
And so when he goes on with somebody like Elon Musk, I believe that he, despite the technical problems, despite all of it, You do have new voters, those 18-year-olds who may listen.
Mm-hmm.
You have different groups of people who may be on that fringe, who may really be on the fence. And so when you look at why did he talk for hours like he did with Elon Musk? Here are two guys who build stuff. They're not career politicians,
mm-hmm.
right? They're not partisan hacks.
No.
They didn't get rich off of being quote-unquote public servants. These are two guys, what they have in common, they build stuff.
You mean
they hire people.
They didn't have a $174,000 a year government salary turned into multimillionaires?
Yeah, somehow. I mean, that's magical right there.
It is.
Think about it.
Right,
they
got the Midas touch, right?
Especially in this economy.
Uh-huh.
And so I think, you know, when I look at them and a very interesting conversation that you see these two people who are titans, if you will. I mean, Elon Musk. And remember, and he even says in the conversation how he stood in line to, he endorsed and voted for Obama. He stood in line for a long time to shake hands with Obama.
Mm-hmm.
He was an Obama fanboy, if you will.
Yeah.
And the EV guy, the climate change guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so Elon Musk is not somebody who's like a Republican, follower or anything of that nature.
Yep.
And yet these two come together. They like each other because they like talking about innovation. I thought of, when I was listening to it and watching it, it was Vivek Ramaswamy had talked about the fact that Trump is intellectually, he's someone who is curious. He wants to ask questions. He wants to meet people like an Elon Musk.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at that conversation, you can't help but come away from it with saying, you know, Trump wants to be a game changer. He wants to learn how to build the economy, invest in the economy. It's very positive energy, if you will.
Yeah.
And when you take it into context, as far as Kamala Harris, she's somebody who's she's hiding from being able to explain what she believes in.
Right.
Because what she believes in is far left, far progressive from anything that most average Americans would support.
Everybody else is fighting the battle for Kamala Harris, and she's just kind of soaking up the rays and soaking up the sun, so to speak, doing the rallies slash the concerts. And both her and her vice president selection, Tim Walz, are basically just sitting back and letting everybody else. It's basically like you move into a brand new house, right? And you're not cutting the grass. You're not vacuuming the living room. You're not doing the dishes, taking out the garbage. You're just lounging at the pool and letting, you know, your spouse or your kids or your nanny or your maid or your servants, whoever, you know, if you're able to afford a cleaner at your house, they're doing all the dirty grunge work for her. And she's sitting back and she's protected and she's insulated. And I want to get to this because I think this is
important. I'm just going to say this. She's hiding in the basement so she doesn't have to sign the paperwork and sign for the bills.
That's correct.
Right?
Yes, and I've done that many times myself. Kristen, did you pay the Verizon bill? I don't want to deal with this. And you have big tech, and this is again why, you know, when we partnered with DuckDuckGo for a while, a great search engine, you know, not politically biased, the whole bit, they're not going to track you and spy on you. So Harris, and this is technically not illegal. This is technically not even a violation of Google. If you're being 100% objective about it, it's politically savvy and diabolical. But Kamala Harris and her campaign are now using sponsored Google ads, where they are presenting mainstream media articles that, and by the way, most of them are in favor of her to begin with, but they look completely altered. Let me explain what this is about and what's going on here. And Axios, of all places, has it. The Harris campaign has been editing news headlines and descriptions within Google search ads that make it appear as if outlets such as The Guardian, Reuters, CBS News, and other major publishers are on her side, Axios has found. Now they say, well, why does it matter? It's a common practice in the commercial advertising world that doesn't violate Google's policies, but the ads mimic real news results from search closely enough that they have caught these news outlets
off guard. According to Google's Ad Transparency Center, the Trump campaign is not running these types of ads, but this technique has been used by campaigns before. The ads say that they are sponsored, but it's not immediately clear that the text that accompanies the real news links written by the campaigns, not by the media publication itself. Here's what they're saying. And by the way, I'll show you how you can find these when you do a Google search, and you'll see visually what we're talking about here. Quote, while we understand why an organization might wish to align itself with the Guardian's trusted brand, we need to ensure it is being used appropriately and with our permission. We'll be reaching out to Google for more information about this practice, a Guardian spokesperson said. Axios writes, reality check. Google said the ads do not violate its rules, but platforms have in the past wrestled with whether this type of format can spread misinformation. They say, between the lines, a source familiar with the Harris campaign ads team said that the campaign buys search ads with news links to give voters searching for information about Vice President Harris more context. And lastly, they say, since August 3rd, nearly a dozen news companies have been used in these types of search ads from the Harris campaign. And if you see this story, and if you find this story on Axios, you'll see the headlines. It'll say something about Kamala, sponsored by the Harris for President campaign, and it'll link you to the Associated Press, the USA Today, PBS, NPR, CNN, CBS News, on down the list of all of the mainstream outlets, websites, and publications. Now, this, I think, is technically a legit way to fool voters. The uninformed, the casual political observer, oh man, we're 3 months out from the election. Let me start doing some of my homework. But here's my question with this, and there's actually two questions. Will Google allow Trump to do the same? According to Axios, the Trump campaign is not doing this. My question is, will Google allow, will they give the same rules and policies and leeway to the Harris, that they give the Harris administration? Will they allow the Trump administration to do that? Or on the other side, I gave you the quote from The Guardian, how they're going to look further into this. They're not necessarily on board with this. Now imagine if the Trump campaign did this. How does Reuters and The Guardian and CBS News, how do they react? My guess, based on 10 years of anecdotal evidence, they will flip out. They will community note things. They will say, no, we are in no way affiliated with Donald Trump. And this is the Trump campaign trying to manipulate people with misinformation and disinformation. These are the small little things that can sway people that are uneducated. And again, I'm not talking about this audience. I'm not talking about the people that live and breathe it on a daily basis. The casual check-in person politically. And this goes back to what we were talking about yesterday. Remember, I think it was actually around 6:50 yesterday. Phil threw up the graphic of how CBS News covered Trump's idea for no tax on tips. And then when Kamala stole it and did the copycat, CBS News, same outlet, same political subject, but a different politician, portrayed the coverage completely differently. These are the little nuances that the astute, keen observer will pick up on, and that's why we try to present that to you here on this show, certainly on this station, because I look at this again in my big takeaway from all of this. This is big tech once again trying to have an impact on the 2024 election, much like they did in 2020, with the suppression of Miranda Devine, the laptop, and the New York Post story. This is why I think, Dawn, so many people in this day and age, even though the mainstream media is a shell of what it used to be, they still have an impact, and if you are somewhat clued in, you will realize what the agenda is here. And you talk about it all the time, media bias by omission. This isn't media bias by omission. This is big tech having their footprint, but also I'll give the Harris campaign credit. If this is not a violation, you know what? We can sit here and cry about it, or we could say, let's do it better than them. This is where I think the Trump campaign needs to jump on these little things, because a lot of people spend their day on the internet.
Yeah, I think, you know, there are multiple things going on here. I mean, one of them is the Trump campaign has to pivot because they have a new opponent. And she has not even released her policy statements fully.
Mm-hmm.
I know that the convention is next week. But at the same time, we have the FBI confirming that they are investigating those alleged leaked internal documents from the Trump campaign, which are apparently phony. And Politico, Washington Post, New York Times, they all received these emails from this mysterious figure named Robert.
Yeah, who's Robert? Yeah.
Well, it's obviously a phony person, and they believe that it's an Iranian hacking operation. Are the documents real? Are they made up? What is this?
Mm-hmm.
So there are multiple things going on since 2016, since we talked about Hunter's laptop, since we talked about Russia, 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 and we now know what's phony. Where did all that come from? And so the media now has to, parse through this and figure out what's real, what's not. As far as the latest situation, the Iranian, these are terrorists who are either hacking the Trump campaign and giving up real documents or making it up. I'm not sure which is true.
Right.
But the media, so far, nobody has released those documents because the FBI has confirmed, this is a real hack and a real situation involving basically a terrorist group who's releasing this.
Right. Yes. And Stalker sent us that story last night, which is very fascinating. And then I know we didn't get to this yesterday. I think I teased it multiple times, but we just had so much going on. Then you have Sunday night, the night before the X Spaces with Elon and Trump, you have somebody breaking into the Trump campaign headquarters in Virginia, and apparently the security and the video cameras were able to get multiple images of this suspect. I think he had a book bag on and a black sweatshirt, and you could actually see a decent portion of his face. Again, I'm looking forward to finding out and following up, and we're going to try to stay up on this to see what exactly was taken and who exactly this individual is and what exactly the motives were. Is this just some rogue burglary? Was this, by design with political intentions from somebody in the political spectrum? We'll get those details, hopefully, in the coming days and weeks. But I do want to wrap with this, because I thought it was interesting that Axios is pointing out some of the, sketchy stuff that the Harris campaign is doing. And then Politico of all places, not the Daily Beast, not the Daily Caller, Politico with the headline yesterday, the nation's best hackers found vulnerabilities in voting machines, but there's no time to fix them. Oh, isn't that interesting? This story coming from Politico, written out of Las Vegas. Some of the best hackers in the world gather in Las Vegas over the weekend, and they were trying to break into voting machines. Now, this was all done on the up and up just to see, what's wrong with the machines and how do you fix them? And they were able to come to the conclusion that there won't be any fixes before November 5th. Politico writes the following. In one sense, it's the normal course of events. Every August, hackers at the DEF CON conference find security gaps in voting equipment. But Election Day security is under particular scrutiny in 2024. That's because both of increasing worries that foreign adversaries will figure out how to breach machines, and because Donald Trump's, quote, unsubstantiated allegations of widespread fraud in 2020 undermine confidence in the vote amongst some of his supporters. They go on to say, as a result, many in the election security community are bemoaning the fact that no system has been developed to roll out fixes fast enough and faster, and are worrying that the security gaps that get identified this year will provide fodder for those who may want to question the results. So, again, here we go, and this is going to be one of these falls where if we have a close election, if we have results that come in that people don't like, we're going to have deja vu of 2020 all over again. And I'm talking about people questioning voting machines. Of course, we know the Dominion lawsuit, Fox News. Here's what I would say to anybody. And by the way, you have every right to question election integrity. We just gave you the story, I think, 10 days ago on 499 people in the state of Ohio. So you have these people that are on voter rolls that are illegal immigrants that are registered to vote. And it happens in red states too, folks. It's not just big blue cities in blue states or swing states. It happens everywhere. But you're going to have the same thing. So here's what you have to do. Expect this. Anticipate this.
Don't bank on just being able to have your voice heard on November 5th. I've said this multiple times on this show, and I'm begging with this audience. I'm pleading with you. Listen to what Laura Trump said. Take advantage of early voting. September 16th. You have 6 weeks to get votes in, to build up your score. Do not just expect to show up on game day in game shape and win the contest. You can't allow that to happen. And we're going to have the calls. They'll be coming in from South Jersey. They'll be coming in from Pennsylvania here on Tuesday, November 5th, on Wednesday, November 6th. Well, I was waiting in line and the printer was out of ink, or the power went out at my church. And don't allow it to happen. Be ready and take advantage of everything the Democrats do. I would plead with the Trump campaign right now. Do what the Harris campaign is doing with Google with these sponsored ads. Do whatever you can, because you're already at a disadvantage right off the top.
But why not just demand that, especially in light of the fact that the FBI confirms that you have these hackers and Iran, you know, and these hits put out on the head of Trump and all of this, and the Iranian hackers alleged to have done, why not have the American people demand what Virginia has done?
Paper by Glenn Youngkin.
Yes.
Yes. I agree.
To say, let's just have the backup. Let's have paper ballots.
At a bare minimum, every red state Republican governor should already be implementing the same stuff Glenn Youngkin is doing. I don't expect that from blue states and blue
governors.
But make
it an issue. It doesn't have to be a blue state. I mean, shouldn't we all want election integrity?
Yeah.
And make it. So in other words, you talked about what can be done. Make this an issue. It's a no-brainer.
I think we have made it an issue. But like, how many more demands can you make, right? You know, if they're not going to change the system and it is what it is, then you have to adapt and adjust.
But if
just
if
barking
anybody,
about it doesn't get your results.
But if anybody can just do the paper ballot backup, and it's really simple and it's such a basic thing, some of those themes, I think, can carry through anywhere.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you. 855-839-1210. If you want to jump in, Dawn will have some news to kick off hour number two when we come back. And also, we have to get to the Jewish vote. I thought this was a very interesting story because every demographic is in play, but maybe nothing bigger than the Jewish vote and the possibility that Trump sets a Republican record. We'll get to that on the other side. It's Kale and Company. Hour two is next on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I know we're all getting ready for fall, but we're still in summertime. August, road trip season for many of us. Do you really know if your vehicle is road trip ready? My friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles are going to help you make sure you and your family are safe out on the roads. These service centers of the Piazza Premium dealers not only handle all your regular maintenance needs, but they also diagnose possible issues before they occur, before you hit the road. Schedule that service appointment online today. Visit PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com for that dealer nearest you, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, PIAZZA, PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com. Tell Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.